May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
I bet there are some people in this room who grew up playing a game like King of the Hill. Anybody? Queen of the Hill, yes. Who likes to win? I think if we're honest, we would all say that we like to win. Competition is part of human nature. It can bring out the best and the worst in people. Usually I don't watch sports on TV, sorry, those of you who do, but every 4 years I spend hours watching when the Olympics comes on because I love to watch these young people from all over the world striving for excellence, striving for their best, striving for the gold. The Olympics can show the positive aspects of competition. But competition also has a dark side, as we all know. Staying with sports, we've seen many star athletes over the years who have succumbed to the temptation to take illegal substances to make themselves perform better. Striving to be the best at all costs can get in the way of many other important things. Comparing ourselves to others can work in a positive way at times if it inspires us to be the best that we can be. But often, comparing ourselves to others results in some kind of unhappiness. There have been a lot of studies lately showing that a lot of people who spend a lot of time on Facebook looking at everyone else's lives end up feeling worse about themselves. Because it can look like everyone else is having the perfect vacation, the perfect marriage, perfect children. Of course, that's not so. There is no perfect in life. So competition and comparison can be helpful and often are unhelpful. In today's gospel passage, Jesus is trying to teach the disciples for the second time about what is to happen to him. He's telling them a truth that they don't want to hear. They can't even hear it. They're resisting it so much. Because the truth involves betrayal and suffering and death. They can't fathom it. Doesn't make any sense to them. As Mark tells us, they didn't understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. And so, probably to avoid that painful subject, as they walk along the road, talking among themselves, they change the topic. Let's not try to figure out why Jesus is talking about suffering and betrayal. It's so much more fun to argue about who is the best disciple. It must have been so much easier for them to go back to something they understood well or they knew how to do, how to compare themselves with one another. They must have been embarrassed when Jesus asked them what they had been arguing about because they were silent. Who is the greatest disciple? The disciples were completely caught up in their egos, in what Thomas Keating and others call the false self. And as long as they stayed caught up in this self-centered way of thinking and of viewing the world, they completely missed what Jesus was trying to teach them. Jesus is always calling us to our true selves, the self that God intends for us to be. But in order for us to uncover our true selves and to act more and more out of our true selves, we have to do a lot of inner work. Thomas Keating is now about 92 years old. He's a Cistercian monk who is famous for his development and teaching of contemplative prayer over the past 40 or 50 years, and particularly centering prayer. And he's a wonderful teacher, using all that we know about human behavior and psychology, as well as he melds it in with spirituality. And the group that gathers here some Tuesday mornings to do centering prayer always watches a little video of his teaching, about 30 minutes of his teaching. It's wonderful. According to Thomas and many others, our false self is concerned with power and control, affection and esteem, security above all else. And when we take any one of those things and make that the priority in our life, or when we act to get power, control, affection, esteem, security, and that's our goal, we are living out of our false self. Who is the greatest disciple? Why did they care who the greatest disciple was? Probably because in the normal way of things, that disciple could have power and control over the other disciples, could have esteem. Maybe he would be Jesus's favorite disciple. But they were completely off track. And when Jesus knows, because they didn't tell him, but he knows what they were talking about, that they have gotten off track, this is what he says to them. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. It's completely upside down from the way that our normal human nature, human community works. And then Jesus takes a small child. Now, even more so in that time, a child had no power or status whatsoever. And he shows them what it means to be a disciple. Not trying to figure out which one of them has done the most or is the best at everything or anything. No, he shows them that to be a disciple means to welcome those who have no power or status. To be a disciple means to welcome those who find no welcome among those who make competition and success and power and control their gods. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, he said. Jesus teaches in the Gospels over and over that the kingdom of God does not work by the rules of our normal human society. We separate, we compare, we put people in categories, and we try to figure out who is the greatest. But in the kingdom of God, the view is different. That question doesn't even exist. All people are valued equally. All are of infinite worth to God. Now, that doesn't mean that we're all the same, for of course we are not. Every one of us has unique gifts and talents and shortcomings and failures, joys and sorrows. We are all unique, but all are the same in God's eyes. All are of infinite worth to God. Jesus does not want us to waste our time and energy arguing over who is the best Christian. John Shea, one of the commentators I read, says that for Jesus, the great are those who engage and cooperate with the loving energy of God. Those who engage and cooperate with the loving energy of God are living in the kingdom of God, which is here now, as Jesus told the disciples, but requires a different vision. It requires us to live in it, to begin to let go of our false selves. When we begin to know ourselves well, we can see our false self in action. We can catch ourselves when we get caught up in trying to prove that we are better than someone else, or we have more than someone else, or trying to be the one in control, or misusing the power that we have. We can catch ourselves doing things for the wrong reasons. Jesus is always calling us to find and live out of our true self, the person that God intends for us to be. This is a lifelong journey, and it requires much of us. Yes, there is a cost to discipleship. But when we know the love of God, then we know that we already have the greatest treasure.